Welcome to Life Church McDonough Podcast. If you will, please visit us at lifechurchmcdonough.com, or you can follow and subscribe at Life Church McDonough on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. If you're in the McDonough area, please come visit us. Life happens here.
I want to commend you for waking up early this morning. How many missed that 1 hour of sleep? I mean, Lord help us. I promise you, I'm going to try real hard to keep you awake this morning. Y'all okay? Pinch your neighbor and say, stay up, it's worth it. I'm just kidding. Well, I want to start this morning. I'm excited to preach God's word. This has been burning on my heart for some time. It's time for this church to live in legacy. Come on, somebody. It's time to live a life that matters. Come on, church. It's time. Legacy is in you. It's just waiting. It's waiting to be birthed, and God wants to do something significant in you and through you. Somebody came in thinking that you're not worthy, you're not worth it, God doesn't want you. That's a lie from the pit of hell, because there is legacy in your life. I'm excited for what God wants to do in this service, but I want to take a moment to do something that is very important. I want to thank you all for such an amazing expression of love last week for our anniversary and for Jubilee's birthday. Thank you for helping us celebrate my queen, because she is amazing, and I'm so grateful for that. I believe we truly have one of the kindest churches in South Atlanta. Come on, somebody. This is a place that loves one another. We are family. This is an amazing community, and we are so grateful to be a part of Life Church. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful to be a part of this community, and you all made us feel special and so loved, and from the bottom of our hearts, I want to say thank you. Thank you so much. We love each and every one of you so much. And even if I don't know you well, guess what? I know the lover of your soul, and that makes me fall in love with you, because I love you with a pure heart. We love you all so much. It's an honor to be your pastors. And I mentioned to someone this week, I try very hard not to say things from this pulpit that I don't mean. Come on, somebody. I want to speak with integrity. I want to speak with conviction on my heart. And I told somebody this week that positional leadership is actually the lowest form of leadership. Here's the deal. Jubilee and I are grateful not just to hold an office or a position as your pastors, but we're blessed to be family. Come on. We're blessed to be family. We're so much more than just a positional leader in your life. We want to live this life with you. We want to fight with you. We want to struggle with you. We want to toil with you. We want to build you up as we get built up in the Holy Ghost. This is more than just a position. We want to live life with you, beside you. This church is full. I'm grateful to say this church is full of our closest and dearest friends, people we would gladly charge the gates of hell with. That's what it should be. That's the kingdom of God. That, I believe that's what the disciples experienced when revival broke out in the New Testament. I truly believe we have the best church in the world. And I know it's because we do some things differently. We do some things in a unique way. Life Church holds authenticity. It holds vulnerability. It holds transparency at its core values. And we're grateful that this church has become a safe place for both very healthy believers that love Jesus with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And this church is a safe place where broken and hurting people can be made whole in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. It is for the broken and the needy that God wants to heal and seek and save. There's an anointing on our church to open blind eyes. Come on, somebody. There's an anointing on our church because it's the anointing of Jesus to set captives free. There is an anointing to release those that are bound in darkness. Come on, somebody. God, I pray for that anointing to fall in this place. God, I pray for your legacy to be instilled in us. God, I pray that you would revive broken dreams in this place right now. God, for those that have given up hope, God, let new hope rise. God, for those that have lost their vision, give them new vision and new revelation. God, I thank you that we are going to live a life that matters. We are a church that's going to usher in your kingdom, and one day we'll see the eastern sky crack open because you're going to come for a pure and spotless bride, and that's what we want to be. So God, I pray you wash us in the water of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, and somebody shouted, amen. Come on, one more time. If you're ready for God's word, say amen. Amen. That's good. Love you guys. Billy Graham once said, the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money, but rather a legacy of character and faith. Character and faith. Another person once quoted that life is about making an impact, not about making an income. Come on, somebody. Life is about making impact, not an income. One more person said it like this, and I hope this quote convicts and sinks in a little bit as we are entering into the holy moment of God's word. They said this, please think about your legacy because you're writing it every day. Think about your legacy for a moment right now in this moment. I dare you to start thinking about the legacy that you're writing. Every day you're writing a legacy. Every moment, every decision, every choice that you make, think about your legacy because every day you're writing it. I want to ask you in this moment, what kind of legacy are you writing? What kind of story is going to be told about your life because you're writing it every day? You're doing something to build your legacy today. Today, somebody say today. Today, right now in this moment, we are writing our tomorrow, church. Come on, somebody. We will be remembered in the near future for what we did or did not do in this moment right now that God has given us right here and right now. We do some things on purpose at Life Church. Because we want to leave a legacy. See, these are some of the things we do on purpose. Y'all ready? Every time we gather together as a church, by God, we're going to pray. Hallelujah. Because prayer moves mountains. Oh, when we pray, it moves the hand of God. So we're going to pray. And we pray multiple times every service because we want to be a people of prayer. Jesus said, as for my house, it will be called a house of prayer. Come on, somebody. Every time we come together, we encourage enthusiastic worship because we want to be a people who worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. Come on, somebody needs to shout. We want to enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, enter his courts with praise on our lips. How many worshipers are in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Every time we come together, we give. We give because we want to sow into the kingdom of God. Come on. We give out of abundance and we also give out of faith when we don't have much. Come on, somebody. Because we want to encourage generosity because we believe it's better to give than it is to receive. Something happens. I listened to an interview with Tim Tebow. He just released a new book and I'm excited to read it. It's about Mission Possible. And he talked on a radio interview about how when we do something for other people, it literally releases a chemical endorphin in our body that encourages us, that lifts us up. I'll tell you what that is. It's where Proverbs says, if you refresh others, you yourself will be refreshed. It's God's word activating when we give because we want souls. We give with generosity. Because we want souls to be saved and make this world and our community a better place. We are writing our legacy every day, church. We're writing our legacy every time we give. Every week, this is another one, we encourage healthy Christian fellowship because we know where our joy comes from. It comes from bonding together in healthy Christian community. It is good. Oh, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity. That's the word of God this morning. It's by our love for one another that this world would know that we are his disciples. That's what Jesus said.
the way we treat one another in community
is writing a legacy. Every time we get together at Life Church, we teach the truth. Hallelujah. We teach the principles and the life lessons found in God's holy and inspired word, because we know that the truth can set us free. How many love God's word? I love the word of God. We're called to live with character and integrity, and God's word is the firm foundation, church, that shows us how to do that. Each time we gather, we encourage everyone. We say, hey, get involved. You serve. Do something with your faith. Don't be a spectator. Be a participator. Come on, somebody. We call you to serve with your gifts, your talents, your abilities that God has given you to invest in this church and invest in our community, because we want to live a life that leaves a legacy, church. Please think about your legacy, because you're writing it every day. Every day you're writing it. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. I'm grateful that we have multiple generations represented in this room, because it doesn't matter if you are a teenager or drawing Social Security, praise God. If you have breath in your lungs, you have purpose. You have divine purpose. There is a legacy you're still writing today. This week is week two of our legacy series, and Jubilee and I, it's no secret, we officially celebrated 19 years of marriage. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just last week on the 8th, I'm still excited that almost 20 years ago, she said yes. Hallelujah. God blessed me. He blinded her eyes like Saul on the road to Damascus. She said yes, and I'm even more grateful that she hasn't kicked me to the curb. Hallelujah. But I'm not going to say how old Jubilee is with her birthday, but for the next few weeks, I'm excited. I'm excited because for the next few weeks, I get to say that we're the same age. For the next few weeks, see, for a long time, Jubilee has spent 10 months out of a year telling me that I'm an old man. Because she's younger than I am, and for 10 months out of every year, she's, you're getting older. I see that gray. Y'all know why I keep my hair short, is because the gray starts coming in when it starts growing, and I gotta shave that stuff right off, because my wife will tell me, oh, I see that gray, honey. Salt and pepper looks good. But for the next few weeks, she is my age. I'm not giving it away, but it's a therapeutic moment in this sermon right now, because I got to rub it in. Praise God, she is getting old. I know she's way out of my league, don't get me wrong, but for the next couple weeks, I'm going to milk this while I got it. Hallelujah. But in all seriousness, putting another year of marriage under our belt and getting a little bit older and a little bit wiser. I know that to some of you, I'm still a young pup, but God has given me wisdom and discernment and grown me. Paul said to Timothy, don't despise anyone because of their youth. And God has given me a fresh fire and an anointing to preach his word. And I'm thankful for that wisdom beyond my years. But we've reflected over the past week over the people who have impacted us the most and left a legacy in our lives. And Jubilee even posted recently a handful of individuals that we've learned from over these last 19 years. We've been recognizing, once we hit 19, we realize there's so many more. There's so many more than just 19 people that have invested in us. So many people have made a difference in our lives, and that inspires us, church, to make a difference in others. That's good word right there. I have been invested in, and so that makes me want to invest in others. That's for somebody this morning. We've been thinking about legacy because we recognize that every day we're writing ours. Every day. And something that I've learned the most, this is a true statement in my life experience, is this. We learn the most from the hardest lessons. Come on, somebody. We learn the most from the hardest lessons. We receive the best. We receive the best from the ones who care the most. So we learn the most from the hardest lessons, and we receive the best from those that care the most. I learned the most from a professor in college. His name was Dr. Don Bowdle, and he literally had a dormitory named after him. The man had 3 PhDs in the Greek Koine New Testament language. 3. Not 1, not 2, but 3.
And Dr. Bowdell was the man I learned the most from in college, because when I would submit a paper to him, he would take a red ink pen and destroy it. He would destroy from page one to the last page. He would critique every little thing. For Dr. Bowdell, on an exam, if the answer was not perfect, then guess what? It was wrong. He was the hardest professor I've ever experienced, and I'll never forget, because we learn the most from our hardest experiences. And another man that I deeply love and respect, he's still a mentor in my life. His name was Professor Tom Doolittle. And the moment I walked away from the very first introduction to Pastor Tom Doolittle, it's funny, he's Dr. Doolittle, for real. I'm not joking. That's really, we call him Dr. D, so we don't snicker. But this moment I met Dr. Doolittle, I knew the man loved me unconditionally. He didn't even know who I was. And the man loved me. And the moment I walked away from that meeting, I told my wife, I said, I want to be like that man, because I want to love people like he loves people. Because we receive the best from the ones who care the most. Come on, somebody. We receive the best from the ones who care the most. The people who were plastic, come on, somebody. The people who were fake and really didn't care much about you and I, come on, somebody, they didn't leave much of an impact on our lives, right? Or how about this? The people who didn't make things difficult for us, who gave us a free pass, who made things easy, you know what? It's okay. You do whatever.
I don't remember those types of mentors. I remember it from the hard lessons. See, the people who loved us deeply instilled in us the life lessons that are going to last, church. They were writing legacy into our lives. Come on. Because we receive the best from people who care the most. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, church. Is that okay? Y'all ready? This is transparency. The reason I have some influence, church, to guide us into the truth of God's word isn't necessarily because I'm the most brilliant orator. It's not because I'm the best communicator or the most gifted theologian. Come on. That's not why I have some influence in this church. It's not because I have a unique ability that is beyond anyone else in this room to hear from the voice of God. Heaven wants to speak to each and every one of us, church. Come on. His voice is speaking all the time, and it's not just to the pastor. It's to everyone, because he loves us all unconditionally and equally. God is speaking to each and every one of us. God wants to speak to each and every one of you. It's not because I have this direct line to heaven. The main reason I have the ability to influence your walk with Jesus is because, hear this, I genuinely love you. I really, actually, genuinely, passionately love you. I care about your need. I pray about your circumstances. My heart breaks when your heart breaks. I rejoice when you rejoice, because that's what Corinthians tells us. When one part is suffering, we all suffer together. But when one is celebrated, we celebrate together. That's why there's influence when I speak God's word. I've been setting us up for a powerful word God has for us this morning. I promise this is all going to come together in just a moment. But the last truth I want to share in this introduction is this. We will remember the people who love with authentic love. Real love leaves a legacy. Real love leaves a legacy, church. Jubilee and I were coming up with the 19 people that have left their mark on our lives, and I couldn't help but think the first person that came to my mind was Pastor Dave Cole. He was my youth pastor, and he mentored me in the most formative years of my life. I turned and truly became a disciple of Christ in between my freshman and sophomore year of high school, and Dave was the man of God who helped me fall in love with God's word, church. He helped me fall in love. He gathered me in a small group of young men, and Pastor Dave shared with me some stories in the Old Testament of David's mighty men of valor, and he opened up God's word, and for the first time, he showed me that there were some men that stood against all odds, and they fought against
multiple outnumbered situations, he told me a story about how all of Israel's army had fled, but one man stayed behind to guard what he felt God had given him. And he fought with tenacity, and he killed hundreds of people, and he fought so hard that his hand was frozen to the handle of his sword because he was fighting. Nothing was left when his companions came back to see what had happened, because he had defeated all of his enemies. And as a young man, I thought to myself, well, I can like that. That's not boring. As a young man, that was captivating to the very depths of who I was. And Dave Cole taught me that the Bible is not boring, church. Come on, somebody. I said the Bible is not boring. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light to our path. Pastor Dave convinced me and my friends that God's word could change us. He convinced us that God's word would shape us at our core. He convinced us that if we trusted God at his word, then we too could become mighty men of valor. That we too could be God's mighty men that could win against all odds. Come on, somebody. You need to get that in your spirit this morning. I've spent the rest of my life trying to convince people that God's word can change our lives because of Dave Cole. Because of Dave, his ministry left a legacy on my life. It left a mark. Please, are you okay? Can you allow me just a couple more nostalgic memories? Because it's power. It's revelation. It's my testimony. And if you don't like it, it's okay. I got the mic. I'm doing it anyways. But I promise you, there's a point to this. I want to let you into my life in hopes that it will change your life. See, Pastor Dave challenged us as teenage boys to memorize Scripture. I don't know if you memorize Scripture currently, but I challenge us as a church, let's get back to memorizing God's Word. The influence eventually that he made on my heart was such a powerful and profound impact that it made me want to be a youth pastor. And I served as a youth pastor for 17 years, but the first scripture that Dave had me and my posse memorize was Psalm 119, verses 9 through. How can a young man keep his way pure? Because that's what we needed by God. We needed to be pure by living according to your word. I seek you, God, with my whole heart. Don't let me stray from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. As I have served the Lord, church, year after year, when the enemy of my soul has tried to take me down and tempt me to do things that would steal, kill, and destroy my life, guys, this is the verse that has flooded to the forefront of my mind. How can I stay pure? By living according to your word, Jesus. See, when I start quoting this verse that it was instilled in me as a young man, this verse causes another verse to flood one after the other. Because when I quote, how can a young man keep his way pure? Then the next thing that comes is, no temptation can overcome me because my God is faithful. Come on, somebody. He will provide a way of escape. Oh, when I start saying that, it's no weapon formed against me will prosper. Those that rise up against me shall fall in the name of Jesus. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Come on, somebody, preach with me this morning. Resist the devil and he will flee in Jesus' name. Devil, you've got to go, because my God is not a man that he should lie. He is the name that is above every name. Hallelujah. And when I keep going, it's I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. My faith is being stirred up right now, just like yours is, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Oh, praise God, the favor of the Lord is on me, and he
he will establish the work of my hands. Hallelujah.
Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for them that believe. My faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, can speak to my mountain, be removed in Jesus' name, and it's got to move. Hallelujah. We should just take a praise break right there for God's holy word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your word. There's power in the word of God. There's an anointing that flows when we pray God's word. What a legacy we will leave if we live our lives according to the word of God. What a legacy we're going to leave if we live our lives according to the word of God. Another verse that Pastor Dave had me memorize that has shaped me and processed me and pointed my life in the right direction is Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise will grow wise, and the companion of fools will suffer harm. He taught me as a young man, this verse was used to instill in me a discernment to know that someone's either going to build me up or take me down. And so I'm going to choose my friends wisely. Pastor Dave poured God's word into my life. And verses like these saved me from destroying my life. Because wide is the path to destruction, narrow is the way to eternity. It was under Dave's ministry that I received the call of God to be a minister. And I believe God keeps good records, church. He keeps good records. I believe that Pastor Dave will get some credit for every person that I've reached. Every person that I've invested in, every life that has been saved under the anointing of my ministry, Dave will get some credit for that, because if it weren't for him, I wouldn't stand before you today. I hope that small part of my story can teach us this morning, what we do now matters tomorrow. What we do now matters tomorrow, church. The decisions we make right now and the steps we make right now have a lasting impact on the legacy that you and I are going to lead. Right now is such an important moment in all of our lives, every single one of us, because right now is going to make or break the legacy our lives will be known for, church. It will make or break. One last imprint that Dave left on my life is this. He taught me the phrase that has impacted my life and my ministry ever since. He taught me, this is awesome, church, you're going to love this. He said, a bad motivation to go to church is better than no motivation at all. Come on, somebody. There were some guys coming around our youth ministry, because y'all, there were some pretty girls. Some pretty girls, because the anointing is attractive, right? I was scrawny. I was like 75 pounds lighter back then. I wasn't even half the man I am today. Thank you so much, Raymond Jordan Jr., because he's my workout partner right now. I'm getting swole. But I don't know why Jubilee was attracted to me, but we had a youth ministry full of pretty girls, and some guys started coming around, and us as our distinguished men of God, that we have hidden your word in our heart, that we might not sin against you. We went to Dave, and we're like, hey, Dave, these are wolves in sheep's clothing trying to come, and they're trying to hit on our girls, Dave. They're not here for Jesus. They're here to get a date. Because back in our insecure little minds, we're like, if these guys start coming to our church, we got no chance. Because they're more popular, they actually have social skills, and, you know, they're athletic. And so we were saying, Dave, we got to do something about this. He's like, y'all don't worry, I'm the shepherd. He said, if they got a bad motivation to come to church, it's better than no motivation at all. Come on, somebody. He poured that into us. Dave taught me early on that Jesus goes after the broken, not the healthy. Oh, I'll say that again. Jesus goes after the broken, not the healthy. Jesus is a good shepherd that would leave the 99 to reach the one who strayed away. Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a physician, but the sick. Dave, in his mentorship, helped me see that we are to have vision to see people not for what they currently are, but for what they will be. We are to have vision not to see what the mess is right now, but the message that's coming in Jesus' name. As a young man, I saw so many of my peers that were far from God come to know the love of Jesus with a pure heart and a genuine passion in their soul, because sometimes a poor motivation to be in God's presence is better than no motivation. Thank you, Jesus. How many know that when Jesus walks in the room, it changes things?
you get suckered into being in the presence of God, your life will be transformed. Let's dive into the powerful word. I promise I'm going to go quick after this moment. The powerful word, if you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 26. This is the word God has called me to share this morning, and I won't take too long to unpack it, but I hope that it will help us see how it applies to everything I've taught so far. This is the context of the scripture of one of the most remarkable legacy moments of the New Testament. One of the most incredible legacy moments. Verse 3 in Matthew chapter 26, verse 3, it says this. This is the context setting up the story. The chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas. And they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. This is the context. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people. See, it's important for us this morning as we dive in to point out the context of what we're about to read. The chief priests and the elders were supposed to be the spiritual leadership of the community. They were supposed to be the ones who knew God's word front and back. They were supposed to be the most educated. Come on, somebody. They were supposed to have the wisdom of God Almighty. They were the decision makers for the community. They were the pave makers, the direction setters. They were the influencers of the current culture. They were the standard normal people would look to, church. And these so-called spiritual men, spiritual people, come on, were planning, plotting, and scheming how to arrest and kill the Son of the living God. They were off their rocker. They had lost their way, church. Not only were they planning to kill the Son of God, they were concerned about public opinion. We see that clearly in this verse. We can't do it right now during the festival. Otherwise, we might have a riot on our hands. These people won't like us if we do it in this moment. We got to do it in a secret way, so it's not to look bad on us. And this is the context of the rest of the story that we're looking at this morning. Let's read the rest starting in verse 6. It says, while Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him, oh God, with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. And she poured this alabaster jar on Jesus' head as he was reclining at the table. She gave Jesus her best. She gave Jesus her all. And when the disciples saw this, even the disciples were indignant. Why this waste? They said. This perfume could have been sold at a high price, and the money could have been given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done such a beautiful thing to me. The poor you'll always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. And this is the key verse, the powerful verse that shows this is one of the most pinnacle legacy scriptures in the New Testament. He said, truly I tell you, wherever my gospel is preached, wherever my gospel is preached throughout the entire world, from start to finish, from age to age, till the end of the age, wherever my gospel is preached throughout the world, what this woman has done will also be told in memory of her. What a legacy. What a legacy to leave. What powerful words for Jesus to share about this woman's act of genuine worship. Truly, I say to you, when Jesus says that, you better listen. Truly, I say, wherever my gospel is preached, this woman's story will be told. If that's not legacy, I don't know what is. If that's not legacy, I don't know what is, church. This passage shows us, this is the cool thing, it's a contrasting picture of religious people who think they have it all together, and they have actually misinterpreted the salvific message of the entire Old Testament. They've misinterpreted everything. This passage shows us the influence of religion
and judgmental mindsets and how that can have an effect on even good people, church, because this, even the disciples were bothered by this woman. Come on. Even the disciples were upset. In juxtaposition, this passage shows a woman whose life is riddled with failure. This woman is of low esteem. She's got a bad reputation. She's filled with guilt and with shame. Come on, somebody preach with me this morning. This woman did not have everything together. A woman who doesn't deserve to be in the same room as Jesus, but a woman who deeply loves and a woman who is deeply grateful for what she's found in Jesus. You see, church, if you don't hear anything else this morning, I want to implore us. I want to beg you as your pastor. If you've tuned out, will you please tune in right here, right now in this moment, because this is the moment of important truth that I believe God wants us to take from this passage. If you learn anything on how to write a legacy, I want you to hear this. Busting into a meeting full of men, pouring an alabaster jar, an expensive, this is years of wages, poured out on Jesus was not the appropriate thing to do. It was not the appropriate thing to do according to religious practice. But this is the truth that Jesus sent me to remind us as we learn how to leave a legacy. God wants you and I to write down our why is more important than our what. Will you say that with me? Our why is more important than our what. Come on, one more time. Our why is more important than our what. Let me illustrate this a few ways and hope it illuminates God's word for us this morning. Our why is more important than our what. What are you talking about? I've been in a relationship long enough, church, to testify that whether you're married or even if you're just dating, the why is more important than the what. Come on. All the female brains in the room said amen. Because there's a difference between if I'm trying to get out of the doghouse and if I'm just trying to express my love. Come on, somebody. The why is more important than my what. If we do things to get something, or if we have an ulterior motivation, what we do becomes far less valuable to our significant other. That's a good word right there. Yesterday, Jubilee was invited to a Mary Kay party, a makeup party, and she was learning how to put on makeup correctly. If you need some makeup, we got some folks that can help you. But I recognized that there was an opportunity. She was at this party. Nikki Cagle is a consultant for Mary Kay. And I recognized that as my wife was at this gathering, I decided, you know, I'm going to send my wife a little text message right now. I said, baby, I'm going to quote this for you because I don't want to get this wrong. I said, you are the most beautiful woman on the face of this planet, with or without makeup. I love you. Hallelujah. Aw. You're so sweet, Pastor. Good for you. But here's the deal, church. My why is more important than my what. See, if I sent that to gain her favor, if I sent that without genuinely caring about her, if I send something sweet like that to try and manipulate or earn some brownie points that I hope to benefit from in the near future, if my why is often I praise God like a bloodhound, she'll smell it right out, and then it devalues the entire message and makes what was said disingenuous. My why is more important than the what. See, I'm going to repeat it one more time and put it back on the screen one more time to help us understand what we're doing in this life really matters. It's going to matter if our why is more important than our what. One more thing, a couple more things to illustrate this. See, we're about to dive into an effort to build a family life center on this campus. It is an effort, a building project that has not been done since 1987 on this campus, and it's going to be an amazing facility with a full court basketball court, a beautiful industrial kitchen, a classroom space for our school at Heritage Montessori School to expand and reach more children in our community. The family life center will house a beautiful worship environment for kids and for adults
adults, and this, it'll have enough space, church, for a beautiful kitchen full of equipment. Praise the Lord, Miss Carmen. It's going to have enough space for a food pantry. But what the first thing I need to communicate is the why is so much more important than the what, church.
It's so much more important than the what. To complete a project like this is going to take hard work. It's going to take all of us to sacrifice, to bond together in love, to make this happen, to see this vision come. And we're going to need the holy provision of heaven to fall fresh on this house. But here's a small bit of the why behind expanding and growing our campus and doing what we're planning to do, because the why is so much more important than the what. See, statistics have proven for years that 85%, somebody say 85% of those individuals who are giving their heart to Jesus in the United States and accepting Him as their Lord and Savior are doing so before the age of 14, church. They're doing it before they reach adolescence. See, this past week I got some good news, because Life Church, we have crossed over 100 kids in our kids ministry roster. God is building our church and our children, and they're going to be reached with the love of Jesus, because 85% who are going to make a profession of faith are going to be under the age of 14. That's why we're doing this. We're doing it for our children, church. Our why is for our children and for our grandchildren. I'm here this morning to say that if we are to build a legacy at this church, the why has to be more important than the what. It has to. Especially when from birth to 14 is the best window of opportunity for us to capture them. Pastor, why should we want to build a basketball court? You're kind of selfish. I know you like basketball. I do, and I got a great shot. I'll shoot the daylights out of it. I'm glad you asked. Why a gymnasium? I'm saying because statistics show us that right now in our culture here in South Atlanta, 3 out of every 4 people either watch or play sports. Come on, 3 out of every 4 people either watch or play sports of some kind. And if we have a sports outreach ministry and an athletic program on our campus, then we will be positioning ourselves to reach at least 75% of the population here in Henry County, because the why matters. Why are we doing this, Pastor? It's because in the back right now, we've got 80-plus-year-old legacy leaders of faith. Ernie and Shirley Porter, Carl and Susan White got here in the 90s, and they have been praying. They have been fasting. They have been giving. They have been sacrificing. They have been interceding. And for years they've asked, God, may your kingdom come. Let us see revival. And I believe the why of doing what we're going to do is to answer the prayers of the righteous. And I want them to be able to see with their own eyes the revival they prayed for years. The why matters, church. The why matters. Why would you want to do something like this? We want a kitchen and a food pantry, and I promise we don't want this because we're hungry. We are blessed. We don't want this industrial kitchen just because we want church people. And everyone knows church people know how to eat, y'all. We want to build a kitchen with a food pantry space so that we can help feed the needy in our community, church, and partner with organizations that are feeding hungry children right here in our city, because Matthew 25:40 says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters, you did it to me. I want to do these things because the why matters. The why is more important than the what. A physical building doesn't matter. What I just said matters. I want to help the least of these because I want to minister to the heart of Jesus. Jumping back to the story in Matthew 26, we have 3 groups that Jesus was talking about. The religious leaders are here, the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then on the other side, there's the chosen men of God, his disciples. And then there's one sinful woman. 3 groups all put in the same equation. The religious leaders worked day and night. They studied and memorized scripture. They led incredibly strict, legalistic lives. That's what they did. Hear that, church. Memorizing legalism, religion is what they did. The disciples dropped everything to follow Jesus. They left family, they left vocations, they left security, they left lucrative businesses. They risked everything to follow Jesus. That's what the disciples did, church. Do you see this? And then there was a woman who was forgiven. There was a woman who was unworthy but forgiven. I said there was a woman who was forgiven. I don't know who else is with me, but I've been forgiven. I've been set free, church. I've been delivered. What a mess I was. And while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me, church. He took me out. I don't know who's with me, but he took me out of the muck and the mire, and he placed my feet upon a solid rock, church. This woman walked in the room. Her reputation was known, but that didn't stop her, church, from pouring everything out on Jesus. Her why mattered. Her why mattered. This is her why. She once was lost, but now she's found. She poured her most prized and expensive possession out on Jesus because her sin had been separated as far as the east is from the west. She gave her best to Jesus because Jesus had given her his best, and she had received from him. Her sin had stained her life as red as scarlet, but Jesus made her white as snow, church. That is the why. The religious leaders were doing what they thought was right. The disciples were thinking, what a waste. This money could have been given to the poor. But the why, church, the why behind this precious act of this imperfect woman became so much more important than the what. Jesus said that this woman, everywhere my gospel is preached, this woman, her story will be told. I want to invite the band to come. God sent me to teach us this morning that if our ambition and our motivation is not wrapped up in authentic appreciation, no matter what we temporarily accomplish, church, we won't leave a lasting legacy. If our ambition and our motivation, if our why isn't in alignment with our what, then we won't leave a legacy, church. You see, as your pastor, I've been trained to teach and trained to preach God's word. I can teach you how to succeed, and I can teach you through God's word that is full of truth, and it can guide us into all truth so that you and I succeed in every area of our lives. I can teach you how to be a good dad. I can teach you to be a good husband, a good friend, a good neighbor. I can help you know the behaviors and the action steps that you need to take to get a good job, praise God. Come on, somebody. I can go over your resume and edit it so it will be on the top of the list and get you the interview you need. I can show you how to budget and pay your bills on time. Come on, somebody. I need some help with that. Praise the Lord. I can guide you in such a way that you will probably be promoted if you put the practical life lessons that I teach you into practice. I can do those things. I can teach you how to be a better friend, church. I can instruct you to be a better neighbor, and I can inspire you to be a social advocate, to be a better citizen in our community. But the why is so much more important than the what. It's so much more. See, the genuine passion, the authentic passion that you choose to live your life with, and the zeal that you pour yourself into the high calling that God has given you, that's what will determine the legacy that you leave. The last thing Jesus wants me to share in this holy moment this morning, this is a powerful truth that all of us can be encouraged by. Legacy has less to do with behavioral modification and everything to do with a heart condition. Legacy has less to do with behavior modification, everything to do with a heart condition. I want to invite everyone to stand to your feet.
Jesus said this woman's story would be told everywhere the gospel is preached. This morning, the gospel is very simple. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, was born of the Virgin Mary. And he came and he lived. He was born in Bethlehem in a manger. He was presented to shepherds and wise men, and he became Emmanuel, God with us. And this Jesus became the son of a carpenter, and he lived a sinless life. He did what none of us can do. He lived in perfection in a sin-broken world. And although he did not deserve it, Jesus laid his life down as a ransom for all of us. And on Calvary's cross, he stretched out his hands for you and for me, taking the punishment that we deserved. And he said, Father, forgive them, because they don't recognize what they're doing. But praise God, on the third day, come on, somebody. Crucified our Lord and our Savior, but on the third day he rose out of Hades, taking the keys of life from the enemy himself, and he rose to newness of life in resurrection power, and he gave us the keys of dominion, and he is now our risen living Savior that sits at the right hand of God forever to be praised. All power and all glory is his. He is going to come again just as he ascended, and he's going to come for his bride. And anyone, John 3:16 is so clear, anyone that believes in him shall not perish, but they can have everlasting life. Everywhere this gospel is preached, this woman's story will be told. I want to ask you to bow your hearts, bow your heads, every eye closed. Think about the legacy you're writing right now. Of the three positions, what place do you find yourself in this morning? Are you doing things out of religious obligation? Are you striving to get God's approval when Jesus already purchased it for you? Because Jesus pleased God for you on Calvary's cross. You don't have to do anything else to earn the approval and the love and the affection of Jesus. You don't have to jump through religious hoops and play legalism games. Because Jesus isn't out for the outward condition. He's after our hearts. Are you a disciple that truly loves Jesus, but every now and again you've gotten some things wrong? You've misinterpreted some of the things that are happening in front of your eyes, and you see yourself being upset or disgusted about some of the things that God himself is orchestrating? Or do you find yourself in the third position, so grateful to be loved by God that you'll pour everything out to him? I'll pour it all out on you, Jesus, because you love me so well. I'm so grateful. So this morning, we're going to begin to worship. I'm going to pray, and we're going to begin to worship. And I dare you, no matter what place you find yourself in this story, if there is legalism in your heart, if there's a spirit of religion, I dare you to get that out of your life, because God wants to write a legacy in you. If you're a disciple that's missed the mark, guess what? Join the club. Many of us have fallen short. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But most of all, this morning, as we open up this altar, if you want to be like this precious woman, if you want to make your why more important than your what, I dare you, as we open up this altar to worship Jesus, I dare you to pour everything out to him. If you're dealing with something, if you're struggling in any way, if there's something you need God to do, just like we worshiped earlier, where you need breakthrough, you need a healing, you need divine intervention, you need financial provision, you need relationships restored, you need God to make a way where there seems to be no way, you need Jesus to be your ever-present help in time of need, whatever it is. If that's you this morning, when we open up this altar, I dare you not to be the religious person that steps back and skulks. I dare you not to be like the disciple and think, what a disgrace, this could have been done differently. I dare you to be like this precious woman whose legacy will be forever known. Pour it all out on Jesus. So Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We trust you. We thank you for this holy moment. we reflect and we say, write a new story in my life. Write a new legacy. God, the moment, the decision we make in this moment is going to change our future forever. So God, have your way in this altar call. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's